Welcome to the show. Thank you for tuning in to KBCZ 89.3 Boulder Creek Community Radio. I'm Smiley Green. This is Earth Church. I'm here with Jesse Daniel. He has been a well-respected name within traditional country music fans for years, known for his relentless work ethic, roaring live shows, and a true-to-life songwriting. He has earned his place among the heavy hitters of today's industry. The California native is blazing the trail for a new wave of traditional artists, bringing his kind of country music to stages all over the world. With three full-length studio records and a newly released live album, he continues to rival the greats of the genre with his current level of creative output. There are many making traditional country music in modern times, but there is no one like Daniel. His sound is uniquely his own while rooted in the tradition of the Bakersfield heroes like Merle Haggard and Buck Owens. His new single titled Working Hard, Day and Night is a tip of the hat to Merle and is prominently featured on Netflix as the theme of the music for comic Dusty Slade's new comedy special, Working Man. Jesse and his band have extensive U.S. and European tour booked in 2024, and there is no telling what this new year may take them. Welcome to the show, Jesse Daniel.
Hey, good to be here, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thank you for making the time. So you are the son of the San Lorenzo Valley. Can we get a little bit of insight to your roots here in the San Lorenzo Valley and a little bit of your roots?
Yeah, you bet, man. I grew up in the San Lorenzo Valley. I'm from Ben Lomond my whole life. Grew up there, went to SLV, went to elementary school in Boulder Creek. And the Son of the San Lorenzo is a song that I wrote and, started performing. And then once I moved away, I came back to the Santa Cruz area and we would play, our shows there. And people started calling me that, after that song, they started calling me the Son of the San Lorenzo, because it's kind of just about where I grew up and growing up by that river and where my life took me and everything. And so I gladly accept that name, the Son of the San Lorenzo. It makes me very proud to represent my hometown and the area that I'm from, and to represent country music from there.
Amen. Yeah, we're proud to have you. I'm very excited. One way I discovered your music was a live performance in Santa Cruz at the Catalyst. And you got another one coming up this Friday, right?
Yes, sir. This Friday. I'm looking forward.
Likewise, we're very excited, and we'll mobilize. I'm sure it'll be a sold out show. But can you speak to, so you have roots in the San Lorenzo, and how did music come into your life? How did you pick up the guitar and start writing songs like Son of the San Lorenzo?
I started out basically as a kid watching my dad play music. My dad was in local classic rock bands and country bands. And, he would play places like Hemplings and Joe's Bar, and, he'd play biker events and rodeos, out in Salinas and all kinds of things, So my dad was always playing music, and I kind of grew up watching him and his buddies play, rehearse and play in the Santa Cruz area. And so, music was just always a big part of growing up for me. My dad was, avid guitar player, and I grew up with a guitar in my hand at an early age, and so I started out doing that. And then as I got a little older, I got into drums, and I used to sit in on drums with my dad.
Nice.
In his band, when their drummer couldn't make it, I would sit in and play gigs with them at some of the bars and events that they would do. And, I went on to play for some local punk rock bands and whoever would have me, basically. I just wanted to play music. And after that, I ended up getting clean and sober. And, country music kind of was a path for me, into weaving my sobriety and my music together and kind of having that accountability. And so that's kind of where I was inspired to do that with country music. It was always, growing up in the San Lorenzo Valley, I mean, there's tons of people that love country music. I was exposed to it as a kid. And so I just kind of grew up throughout, middle school, high school, really loving it. And I just kind of went back to it as I got older.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah, one thing I always love to explore with guests is the healing power of music, and you kind of alluded to your recovery a bit, and if you're open to it, can you speak to that, this genre, and you, I like the way you said accountability and how country music was kind of interwoven into that journey and that next chapter of your life, and would love to hear any thoughts or anything you'd like to speak on that, because I know I've spoken to a lot of amazing artists that speak to the healing power of music.
Oh, definitely, man. That's really one of the number one reasons I started writing songs, and that I really kept going with it, is because of that kind of cathartic aspect to it that, you know, I really discovered early on. And when I finally got clean and sober, you know, I was a drug addict, you know, in Santa Cruz area for years. And, you know, that's obviously a big problem in the area.
Yeah, 100%.
And I just kind of went down that road for a long time. I was not a person that you would picture playing the catalyst, you know, years later. I was a junkie, basically a junkie on the street, going to jail all the time. You know, and so for me, this kind of music was this wholesome, and kind of therapeutic, journey into something that's real, you know, something tangible that I could actually make and create that could help other people and help me. And it's really, it has saved my life. You know, music in general has saved my life.
Amen. Amen. Give thanks for that. Yeah, that's beautiful. And I think a lot of people are drawn to music for that experience. Personally, it's been a major, I've been on a similar path, and you mentioned the area. It's Santa Cruz is such a wonderful place, but there's
absolutely
it's the yin and yang of a beautiful place. There's ups and downs and light and dark. But music has been
very true.
Yeah, it's been consistent, and it continues to inspire and heal. I think there's truly something to be said about healing. One thing I wanted to learn about too, we were talking about the San Lorenzo River. You're a fisherman, right? And maybe speak to like some of your inspirations of the San Lorenzo, and you're on the road constantly, and want to speak to like, you know, the fisherman aspect, or you know, the muse that comes from nature and whatnot.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Growing up, you know, that's always been a big part of my life, just nature in general. You know, I grew up about a mile outside of town in Ben Lomond, up in the mountains, you know, in a really rural setting.
Yeah.
I grew up in a barn that was a half house, half barn. You know, we still had concrete floors. It was cold as hell in the winter. Cool. And, you know, out there where I grew up, it was kind of like, for a kid in the summertime, it was the paradise, because I could go down to Love Creek or down to the San Lorenzo River and just kind of hike around the mountains all day. And that was kind of a form of refuge for me as a kid, you know, going through some hard family stuff, you know. So that has, in adulthood, been something that I've gone back to as far as, you know, outdoorsmanship. And, you know, as an adult now, I love to fish. When I was a kid, my dad would take us to Loch Lomond from time to time, and we'd fish there.
Yeah, nice.
And so, yeah, as an adult, I love to fish and kind of reconnect with nature whenever I can when we're on the road. That's a big grounding thing, you know?
100%. Yeah, the road is grueling. It's stimulating. It's fun. It's a livelihood. But, yeah, you need to take that time once in a while and kind of reset this.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
man,
give your body an opportunity for the spirit to catch up, because you're all over the place, man. It's pretty impressive. It's actually really inspiring to watch your journey.
Thank you, with your group,
your team, and your family, and Jody. So it's a beautiful thing, man. So congrats. And so one thing that is interesting is this relationship with the cross collaboration with Dusty Slay, and I watched, you know, it was a pretty funny special, and that was a really great way to see you in the mix of, on a bigger stage where everybody has, you know, on their at home, at the comfort of home, on Netflix and whatnot. And can you speak a little bit to that collaboration and maybe looking at music as a way to connect on multiple levels.
Yeah, you bet, man. Dusty and I kind of connected because he did a podcast called Nick's Vancast, and the guy who runs that, he's a guy named Nick Sherrill, and he's from the San Lorenzo Valley, from Ben Lomond, actually, same exact town.
Oh, cool. Full circle right there.
And so we went to high school together, and I knew that he had been doing a podcast, and one day he interviewed Dusty Slay, and he asked Dusty, you know, all these questions about what he's into, and Dusty and him were connecting on country music. They're both big country fans. And so Nick asked Dusty, he said, hey, well, who are some artists that you've been listening to, you know, contemporary country artists that you like? And he's like, man, there's this one guy, Jesse Daniel, that I really like.
From Ben
and
Lowen.
Sure enough, he was like, wow, that's crazy. He's like, I went to high school with Jesse Daniel. That's crazy. And so it was kind of a weird serendipitous thing. And Dusty and I got in contact, and we just kind of developed a friendship because I liked his comedy. He liked my music, and he would come out to our shows when we'd play in Nashville because he lives there. And so he basically would come out, and I just would tell him, hey man, when you get that Netflix special, don't hesitate to give me a call if you need some theme music for it. And I was kind of just joking around, half joking, you know, and he gave me a call one day, and that was the thing. He said, hey, I want you to write this song for my Netflix special if you're up for it.
He held you to it.
So, yes, exactly, man. So good. Jody and I just sat down, and we made it happen. We wrote that song, and
it's a great
and
track.
It's very cool to see that crossover. You know, he's really blowing up in the comedy world, and it's opened a lot of people's eyes to my music, you know, just having him promoting it. So it's very cool.
Yeah, I love that. The tide rises and all boats rise with the tide in many ways. You know, to collaborate in that spirit of creation, I think there's something there, some magic. And it's great exposure for...
I agree.
Yeah, the son of the San Lorenzo. You mentioned being a fan of country music, and we alluded to Buck Owens and Merle Haggard. Can you speak to your influences a bit in what you love about the genre, and specifically for maybe the uninitiated, the Bakersfield vibe?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I kind of started out in high school getting into, you know, whatever they were playing, like at our high school, you know, rallies and stuff like that, which was, you know, Alan Jackson or, you know, the stuff that was popular in the early 2000s or whatever. And then, you know, I kind of branched off into a little bit more of like the old school stuff, you know, because I had friends that were kind of into that music, and I would, you know, I got really into Johnny Cash. He was one of the first guys, Hank Williams, some of those guys that were older, you know, 50s and 60s artists. And those were kind of the first, you know, foray into country music that I had. But then once I learned the history of, you know, country in California, and I learned about, you know, Merle Haggard, Buck Owens, you know, later on Dwight Yoakam, the Byrds, Graham Parsons, Desert Rose Band, Chris Hillman. Like, there's so many bands and artists that have come out of this state. And I just went down the rabbit hole with California country, and it gave me a lot of pride to realize that, hey, there's this rich history of country music from this state. And a lot of people, you know, throughout our country, they don't realize that. And so
amazing.
I kind of took that on as my cross to bear, you know, and it's just part of me because it's the music I love, but it's also something I want to promote and bring to the world, you know, and show people that California has its own sound, you know, and I have my own sound that's kind of formed by where I grew up.
Well said. That's amazing. I mean, I learned just from now, you know, the roots of a lot of these artists that I love. Yeah, there's that California country sound. It's amazing. That's and when you're on the road,
it's so cool.
Yeah, can you speak to some of the others? I mean, we talked about Dusty being from Nashville. Everyone knows a little bit about that. But what other kind of sounds can we contrast or appreciate in the country music genre? I imagine you encounter it while on the road.
Oh, absolutely, man. I meet people from all different backgrounds and playing all different genres and kind of subgenres of country. And one that I really like is bluegrass. You know, I've met a lot of bluegrass musicians. And there's a lot of history of that in California too.
Nice.
Equally, you know, with Appalachia and Tennessee. And so that's been one way with a lot of people I've been able to kind of connect is on bluegrass music. There's a lot of good music coming out of Texas and Oklahoma also. And there's just kind of this cool thing happening right now in country music. I think it's kind of a renaissance where it's in all forms kind of coming back into popularity. You know, and whether that's like straight traditional country or kind of country rock or whatever you want to call it, it's just, I think, like American roots music, you know, it's kind of coming back into this more organic form of music, you know, and I really think that's cool.
Yeah, likewise. I think, yeah, I like the way you put that. There's a bit of a renaissance happening and American roots is something to, we can find common ground in music. That's always really important. I think it's really cathartic and really necessary and timely that we connect with each other through music, especially.
I agree at 100%.
So you currently are on the tour, and this show, we're going to post it and share it far and wide. What are you looking forward to? Any kind of lessons learned, or can we speak to your journey thus far? Because there's a lot more miles to go.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, it's like a never ending journey, you know, but yeah,
for sure.
So far, man, I've really gotten back to enjoying the music and enjoying being on stage and creating art, you know, creating art, creating music for people to enjoy and for myself to enjoy. I think for a while in the past couple years, I got really zeroed in on, you know, how can I rehearse my band to where we're the best, and how can I give these people the best possible show? And those things are all really important, but I think with the grueling aspect of the road, I kind of lost a little bit of that spark of the enjoyment of just creating and just being out there in the moment, living it day to day and doing it. And so I got, you know, a little crazy. I got feeling a little bit miserable for a while at a point last year. And I kind of came to the realization that I was like, man, I'm not playing music for the sake of playing music enough, you know? So I really started picking up the guitar, you know, on the nights when we were in a hotel. Like, I'd pick up my guitar and I'd learn a new song, or I'd practice scales, or I'd learn some bluegrass licks. And it completely revitalized my my love for it in that way, for just like the act of making music. And I feel like that really comes through now in our show because we're just all kind of having the time of our lives up there. And that makes the people at the show have the time of their lives when they see the musicians getting into it, you know. So that's been like one of the biggest lessons I've learned really in the past few years has been to try to enjoy the ride and not just look at the destination, you know?
Amen. Amen. Comes from the heart, goes to the heart. If you guys, yeah, the crowd really resonates. It's that energetic exchange of performance. And when you're living your best life in the moment, that, you know, they can't help but feel the same.
That's true.
That's beautiful. Wow. How cool. And so, let's speak a little bit. So you got a new album coming out very soon. And let's speak to that process. I mean, talk about creation, talk about for the sake and the love of the craft. For people just discovering, yeah, I mean, you are the son of the San Lorenzo, but I imagine we'll share this far and wide. Let's talk about your new album and part of the process of putting that together.
Yeah, you bet, man. I have always made my records, you know, from back to my first one. With a co-producer, you know, I co-produced my first one with my buddy that I grew up with, Henry Chadwick, in Ben Lomond. And then, you know, the next two I did in the San Antonio, Texas area with a real legendary steel guitar player and producer named Tommy Dedamore. And he and I co-produced the next two records. But with this collection of songs that I had in this album, I really had the idea to do it myself. And I wanted, you know, I've kind of learned and picked up things over the years in the studio of how to be a better producer and how to really extract what I want out of the production of a song and how to achieve that and how to get it. So that was kind of my thing that I knew I wanted to do, but I was a little nervous to do. And so we just went ahead and pulled the trigger and we're like, you know what? I think this is the time. And I produced this new record completely myself. I set up the band, arranged everything. It makes me that much more proud of it because I feel like it's my best work to date. And it's all the players that played on this record. We've got members of George Strait's, Ace in the whole band.
Wow.
Including Gene Elders, who just passed away right after he recorded with us. He's a legend. We've got Kevin Smith. He's the bass player, Willie Nelson's family band.
Wow.
And a whole bunch of other guys that are just killer musicians. And so this thing turned out incredible.
Yeah, well, that's exciting. That's exciting. Yeah, it's amazing too. Throughout the years, the Rolodex and the network, the greater country music community, and players coming together and create new albums together. I mean, that's pretty impressive too. That you're maybe we could speak to like the music industry of today, and you kind of had that traditional approach of working with producers in the beginning, but as a singer, as a writer, as a performer, you've also taken on that producer. You wear many hats, and I think that's kind of almost a metaphor for being a working man musician, working woman musician too, for the whole spectrum of performers and creators.
Oh man, absolutely.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Like how you do need to wear many hats. I mean, you guys are your own production. Writers,
yep.
You know, promoters. I think for a new generation learning about music, it's important to speak to these skill sets and also being open and trying to learn, keep learning.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think, you know, over the years, that's something that I learned with, you know, you talk about the working man's musician. That's very true because, you know, both my fiance Jody and I both, we've worked, you know, just about every job that you could possibly, you know, work. You know, in the Santa Cruz area, I've done everything from plumbing to drywall to, you know, day laboring, construction, work for contractors, farm and feed supply stores, restaurants. And so I've kind of taken that when I decided to go full time into making music. I knew it was going to be a big leap and I was probably going to be broke for a little while. And I just, you know, had to make that leap, but I took the work ethic that I had learned in my experience working blue collar jobs, you know, my whole life. And like you said, kind of put that into, you know, wearing all the hats that are necessary. Cause I think everybody, when they start out, has this idea that there's this magical moment that can happen where, you know, you get signed and then it's like, you're off to the races, you know, and for some people that does happen. And that's awesome for the people that it does, you know, if that's what they want. But I think for the majority of people today, myself included, it's like, if you want to make a living playing music, you've got to wear all those hats and really, you know, take kind of control of your own deal. And you get out of it what you put in. And so that's something that I've learned definitely. You know, I've put my heart and soul, and Jody has also, into our own label and this whole, you know, brand that we've created, as well as the music and the songs and myself, you know. So, yeah, can't say enough about how important that is to be all in, you know, if you're going to be a career musician and you want to do that, it is 100% doable. Anybody can do it. You just got to work hard and you got to love what you do.
Wow. Congrats. Well, that's exciting because it is, there is some sovereignty. There's some, you know, you both are like captains of your ship in such a way, which is actually kind of liberating. But it's risky. It feels a little, you know, I imagine it's precarious at times. It's
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody to blame but ourselves, you know, if it goes wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's kind of also nice to know that it's not. Yeah, you can steer your own ship, and that's kind of liberating and taking that leap. So, how long has it been since you've been full on just music? Because that is a lot of musicians. Santa Cruz, you know, it's full of talent. It's actually got kind of small town connections, big city talent pool. And there's no scarcity of inspiration in the Santa Cruz Mountains, but it's hard to leave that Dave job and you know, taking that leap, man. Any advice for those considering that? Because being all in is takes a lot of courage, and you guys are doing it.
I appreciate it, man. Yeah, it's been since 2018. Wow. That's when I quit the job that I had. And, you know, both my parents are blue collar. My mom teaches welding at Soquel High School. You know, my dad worked at Kelly Moore Paints on Ocean Street for 20 years. And, you know, neither of my folks were in a position to help me out in a way, you know, and it was, I guess my point is, you know, how I grew up, it was very much on me to do whatever, to figure out whatever I was going to do in life. There was no guidance or no real path laid in front of me. So it was I felt this kind of do or die mentality as far as that goes. And I think I also kind of had something to prove to myself that I could successfully do it. You know, and I'm very grateful that it ended up working out, and that, you know, I found a partner like Jody, because she's got the strongest work ethic out of anybody I've ever met.
Wow. That's
and she's really taught me a lot about business and how to make what you love doing a business, you know, and to make money, make your living off of it, but not lose that part of it that is art and that's magic, you know?
Amen. Oh man, that's inspiring too. Cause, you know, that kind of ride or die partner piece, and, you know, we could talk hours just about being a good man and being a good partner. But what you guys too, you mentioned your label and your brand. The brand is taking off. It's kind of riding the wave of this country renaissance, American roots music. And but if it's all right, maybe you could speak a little bit to working with your loved one, working with your partner, and taking that ride or die mentality as your livelihood. And, you know, you alluded to it. She's taught you through the work ethic. And I think everywhere we read about, you know, you have a very strong work ethic coming from your family and your dad, your second generation musician. I mean, that's pretty cool. But I'd love to hear a little bit about that. Cause that's, I've known others on the road. It could be very hard, and I've seen it work, and I've seen it not work. And you guys are definitely inspiring.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, man. It's been a labor of love, you know. Working with Jody, it's always been kind of just the natural thing. When we first got together, you know, she was a tattoo artist by trade, and she had a shop in between Santa Cruz and Felton on Graham Hill Road.
Nice. Yeah.
And then we opened up together True North Tattoo in Felton. You know, she ran and operated that shop for a couple years, and, you know, private studio. She was a very successful, you know, tattooer. And so I feel like, you know, I really got to kind of learn about that type of, you know, business management and stuff through watching what she was doing with tattooing. And when she got burnt on, she had already been tattooing for about 10 years. She got pretty burnt out on it. And her passion was in music. You know, she really wanted to pursue writing songs and touring and doing what it was that I wanted to do. That was one of the things that we both connected on. And so when we left the Santa Cruz area, we went to Austin because we had met a lot of friends out there and wanted to kind of see the next journey for us. And that was the deciding factor, was, you know, okay, we're going to kind of move to this next chapter and really jump in on, you know, like you said, steering the ship, just the two of us. And so we started that label, Die True Records. It started out just Jody and I screen printing, you know, shirts and hats ourselves in our living room, nice. Staying up all night so that we could get them done in time for the show the next day. And it's evolved to where now we've partnered with a Nashville label, Lightning Rod Records, and we get our distribution through them. And so it's grown a whole lot, and it's grown to more than I ever could have imagined that it would be, you know?
Yeah. Oh, big time. I mean, yeah, I think in the more of these collaborations and exposure, and I mean, that's just, it's just the little anecdote of Dusty Slay on the podcast saying, oh, there's this guy, Jesse Daniel. I mean, it gets out. It's amazing how things are able to, you know, spread and organically grow. Is there,
totally, man.
Yeah, you know, in your bio, there's European tour. Is that in store? Have you already been to Europe, or what's it like going outside of the country with American roots music? I imagine that's something fascinating, you know, to be experienced, or if you have anything to share on that, I'm curious.
Yeah, man, there's a huge faction of people in Europe that love American music. A lot of people, nice, over there just love country music and blues and jazz, and like they just love American music in general. So we went over last year and we did some shows in we did some festivals in Belgium, Spain,
wow,
France, and England. And in Spain, we actually headlined a festival.
Oh, cool.
That was 6,000 people. And it blew my mind because these people did their homework. They listened to my music for the ones who didn't know. And they learned the lyrics and they were singing the words to my songs, you know, in their Spanish accents, oh, but singing, God, in English. It was like the most mind-blowing thing I've ever seen, man.
You must be doing
and
something.
So we,
right,
went over there and any doubt that I had that, you know, Europe might not be the best place for American country music was out the window. I was like, man, we got to go back. So we're actually not going back this year, but we're going to be going back next year for a pretty extensive European tour.
Yeah, no, that's nice. Yeah, it's good to kind of build it up and get ready. And you got this new album, but you're hitting the road pretty hard right now. Local on the mainland,
yeah,
you know, what excites you, what are you looking forward to, and specifically, you know, what's coming up? I mean, and we can start with Friday with the Catalyst, because
sure,
yeah, the way I discovered, I said this earlier, but I really love the live album from, I believe it was 22, and it was released in 23, live at the Catalyst, and that was a very special one.
I'm sorry. What was that last part you cut out?
Oh, your live album at the Catalyst was, it's, I love it. I listen to it on repeat.
Oh man, thank you.
Yeah.
And yeah, that Catalyst show really is, every year it's become kind of like the one that I look forward to all year, just to get to be back in Santa Cruz, to see all those familiar people, and you know, those are the people that have supported me and that have gotten me to this point. You know, that was my whole springboard, was, you know, playing everywhere and anywhere I could in Santa Cruz. So to be able to come back there to do something like the Catalyst and to give those people, you know, the best show that we can, it's really rewarding. That's always my favorite show of the year. And so I know it's going to be a good time this time. Other than that, man, I'm really excited to get this record out. And we're doing an album release show in Austin, Texas on June 7th at Antone's. That's going to be a lot of fun. But we've got some other, you know, big stuff in the later summer and fall that we haven't announced yet that I'm pretty excited about, too.
Stay
tuned.
We'll
be keeping you guys posted on all that stuff.
Yeah, great. That's awesome, man. You know, this is a reoccurring, you keep, you moved to Austin from Santa Cruz, and then you got this special album release coming up. Can you speak a little bit to that specifically, that town specifically? And, you know, it seems like you got some really good connections there and some good energy as far as I performed in a roots band, and we did the Bob Marley Fest, and I was blown away with the amount of talent on 6th Street. And, you know, we just played the festival. We opened for the Wailers, actually. It was a dream come true. And then we flew out.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah, we flew out the next morning. So I just stayed up and went to every spot on 6th Street and was really blown away. And I imagine you got a lot of stories, when it comes to Austin, Texas. And if you could share any insight, would love to learn about Austin.
Yeah. Yeah, man, moving out there was great. It's kind of, you know, between Austin and Nashville, as far as, you know, country music goes, I think those are the two right now really towns that have some industry, you know, kind of built around them. They got a lot of studios there, tons of talent. So we found a good community there for the most part. And we're on the road so much that I'm not as able to play, like, you know, around town in Austin as much as I was in the beginning when we first moved out. But, you know, we've got our people there, and we just recorded this new record at a studio called Arlen Studios. And you mentioned the Roots Fest and the Wailers. It's actually where, if you're a reggae fan, it's actually where Sublime cut that famous record they did.
Yeah, that's amazing.
As well as, like, you know, I think Tom Petty's recorded there, Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson, Pearl Jam. It's like everybody you could imagine.
Amazing. A lot of history.
Has recorded there at some point. So we very fortunate to use that studio in Austin. And yeah, there is just a good thing going on in Austin right now. I think there's just a lot of talent. And, you know, it's always been kind of an arts community. And so we're just outside of Austin, and it's nice, man. We get to go up there and kind of be a part of it when we're not out on the road. It's been a great journey.
Yeah, man. Well, that's that's pretty cool. It's nice to share the space with legends too in those studios. That's
can just feel it. You're like, man, those guys stood in here and played those songs. That's crazy.
And that's where it was cut. That was the and that's where this new record's coming out. And for those that want to stay connected, how do they? When is the record dropping? And how do they stay connected with you?
Record is dropping on June 7th, and to stay connected, you can just follow me on all the social media platforms. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff, YouTube, and you can also go onto my website. It's just jessedanielmusic.com. You can pre-order the new record on there, and you can also stream it. Pre-save it.
Yeah, that's right.
To stream.
Yeah. No, Jesse, this has been a pleasure, man. I really appreciate you taking the time, and we're going to be excited to support and come through the Catalyst tomorrow night. That's Friday, April 12th. Another special performance. Are you guys going to record this one as well? Is there another record potentially?
I don't know. We might, man. We might have to.
Yeah, you might as well. It doesn't hurt. That one record is pretty clean, too. You guys did a great job.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, maybe we'll just have to start recording every show at the Catalyst. Your Make home. A volume one, two, there three, you four. Go.
Yeah, might as well. And you got your homecoming, you know, stacks. You know, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Any last words for the people before I let you go?
Oh, man, I'll just say, you know, I appreciate all of you. Thanks to everybody listening. I wouldn't be who I am and what I am and what I'm doing in my life right now if it wasn't for, you know, the San Lorenzo Valley and for the people that have supported me since day one. And I'm always going to be grateful, and I'll always come back home, and I'll try to make you proud.
Well, you're doing a great job, and best regards to you and the whole team and Jody, and thank you so much for joining us here at this KBCZ 89.3 FM Boulder Creek Community Radio interview. And have a great show, man. Take care.
Thank you, man. I'll look forward to seeing you then.
I'll be there, man. I'll come say hi.
Please do, man. I'll see you soon.
I'll see you soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
And thank you, Boulder Creek. That was Jesse Daniel, son of the San Lorenzo Valley. Again, he is performing at the Catalyst on Friday, April 12th. Very exciting show. And as a local community radio station, and it's always an honor to connect with people like the son of the San Lorenzo. And one piece of this conversation really resonated is the healing power of music. He writes some songs, and there's some songs in the live performance album from the 2022 performance at the Catalyst using the muse and using music as a way to live and to not lose sight of what's important in life and turn your life around and have that compassion for yourself, compassion for your family, and to heal and to use that inspiration and the joy of playing to get back to the roots of why we do what we do as musicians. Another key piece that I thought was very enlightening, and I'm learning that as well, is the need to wear so many hats and the humility to continue to evolve and progress and level up in your contribution to the community, to steward a music scene and a music community is a labor of love, and it's a very hard and taxing vocation, calling. That said, he spoke to hearing people sing his lyrics in Spain, 6,000 people in a festival crowd. I imagine that's something that is very encouraging and cathartic. We played, it was 2015 when we went to Austin, Texas, and opened for the Wailers at the Bob Marley Fest. And that was another experience, how music transcends all identities, all everything. There's it's the universal language. It's a way for us to connect and further our love of each other, of what inspires us, and rekindle the knowing of what's important in life. So with that said, we're going to get back to what's important here, KBCZ, and that is playing you amazing music that makes you feel good. This is Earth Church. I'm Smiley Green. You've been listening to an original interview with Jesse Daniel on KBCZ 89.3 FM. Keep it locked and we'll keep it loose. This is Earth Church.